prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." This is word of the Lord.
Father, please would you teach us, and as we focus on your word, move in our hearts that we would be people who are ready to forgive. Amen. Okay, we're thinking this morning about forgiveness. And the reason we're thinking about forgiveness is someone was talking to me about this a while ago, probably about last summer, and they said it would be great to have a sermon on forgiveness. So this is what we've got. And when we're talking about forgiveness this morning, we're thinking about us forgiving one another. Obviously, it relates to our forgiveness from God, and we're going to think about that in a bit. But it's focused actually primarily on us forgiving one another. Now, this is a tricky thing to do. This is a difficult thing to do. It's something that impacts every one of us, because we all need to forgive. We all will have had people who have done things against us. And maybe there are some, in fact, I can guarantee there are people here today who are going through a process where you need to forgive, where there are people that you maybe are struggling to forgive. Maybe you've said, "I can't forgive." And if that's not you at the moment, the thing about forgiveness is you just have to hang around for a bit, don't you? And then it's going to need to be you. So even if it's not you right at the moment, it's going to be you, because we all need to face this. And we're going to think about this in three points, and they are: why forgive, what is forgiveness, and how can we forgive? And we're going to look at bits from that parable that was told. So first off, why forgive? We jump into this story right at the end. Jesus tells this parable about forgiveness, doesn't he? So he talks about a servant, and the king, he owes the king a huge amount of money. And the king wipes off that debt. Now that servant then goes out and finds someone who owes him some money, and he throws him in jail until he can pay back the debt. And the king, when he hears about this, gives this response at the end of the parable. See how harsh it is. See how extreme this looks to us. Verse 24. Have a look at it. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Father in heaven, my heavenly Father, will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Now that is a pretty blunt, that's a pretty harsh, in our eyes, pretty harsh ending, isn't it? This unforgiving servant, the king then says, throw him to the torturers until he pays back everything that he owes. And Jesus says, that's how the Father will treat you unless you forgive from the heart. Jesus is saying, this is a matter of life and death. He is saying it is that serious whether we forgive. It is not just an optional extra for Christians. It is essential. We see this as well in other places. It's not just, this isn't the only place Jesus says this. Matthew chapter 6, he tells us up on the screen. It says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Okay, do we get the picture? This is serious. Jesus is saying, if we're going to be forgiven, we need to forgive. Now, you might well come back on this and think, well, now hang on, this is confusing, because almost every week we are saying The way to be forgiven is just to come to Jesus. It is a gift of his. It is grace. It is not something I earn or something I deserve. Forgiveness is something given to me. And yet this seems to be saying, in order to get to heaven, you need to be a forgiving person. So how does that fit? Is it the case that it is a free gift, or is it actually a contingent upon me forgiving? Is it actually my work? If I'm a forgiving person, then I go to heaven. Let me just explain how it kind of fits together. And the answer is that forgiveness, us forgiving one another, is a fruit of the forgiveness we have received. So if we have received God's forgiveness, we will forgive others. We will want to forgive others. It will come with it. And therefore, if we don't forgive others, if we say, I cannot, I will not forgive other people, it shows that God's forgiveness has never actually sunk into our hearts. His grace has never really broken into our hearts. It's a bit like, apples on a fruit tree, apples on an apple tree. The apples on an apple tree show that the tree is alive. Don't they? The fact that apples are coming out shows that the tree itself is alive. But apples don't make a tree alive, so you can't just go to a dead tree, nail apples onto it, and go, there you go, an alive tree. So too with forgiveness. Forgiving others is a fruit of the forgiveness that we have received from God. But if we say, I cannot forgive, I will not forgive, the answer is not suddenly just to cram on forgiveness, to nail forgiveness onto our hearts, because actually the problem is deeper. The problem is we haven't received God's forgiveness of us. So this is very serious, whether we forgive one another or not. It actually is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternity, isn't it? But it also, what we also see in this life is that forgiveness, if we don't forgive others, if we are unforgiving, if we are bound by unforgiveness, we actually end up imprisoning ourselves in this life and devouring ourselves in this life with an unforgiving heart. There's a great quote by a Christian American writer and theologian, Frederick Buchner. And he says this, it's a great quote. He says, it's on the screen, I'll read it out for you if you can't read it there. He says, of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come, to savour to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. So you see, forgiveness matters. It matters for eternity. It matters in this life. Okay, so how are we going to... what is forgiveness is next. What is forgiveness? Now, I highly recommend... We don't have time to go into this in great detail, but I highly recommend a book called Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. Andrea lent it to me. It's a great book. I don't even know whether you can still get hold of it, actually. But if you can, and you want to get into this in more detail, and I think most of us probably need to, then this is a great book to get hold of. We're just going to think about two parts of forgiveness, which come from this passage in Matthew 18. So we're going to think about, first off, make your heart go out to them. So first step in what forgiveness is make your heart go out to them. Have a look at verse 27. So this is the first servant before the king. The servant, verse 26, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. Now, you see, the first thing there that the servant's master did was took pity on him. And the word there for taking pity on him is a word which means his heart went out to him. Now that, when you're faced with someone who has done something against you, is the very last thing you want to do. You don't want your heart to go out to them. Because in your heart going out to them, you are identifying with them. You're saying, you and me, we are a bit alike. And that is the last thing you want to do, isn't it? Because when someone has done something against you, what you want to say is, I am nothing like them. But your heart going out to them is saying, we are alike in some ways. See, when someone does something against you, what you want to do, what I want to do, is to make a caricature of the person. We want to define them by the thing that they've done to us, so that they don't become someone who lied. They become a liar. They become a bully. They become untrustworthy. And we write them off. We make a caricature of them. You've seen caricatures of people. You know, when a caricaturist, if you've ever had it done to you, you know, they make your nose look bigger and your forehead look bigger and your hair look enormous and your face look tiny. And, you know, all those kind of things. They make a distorted version of you. And that is what we do to one another. We make one another into distortions. We actually dehumanize one another. We say, this is who they are. They're a liar. They're not a person anymore. They're a liar. And why do we do that? We do that because when we've made them into a caricature, into something that's not human, we can hate them more. Because it's okay to hate a liar. It's okay to hate a bully. But for our hearts to go out to them, we've got to say, no, actually, we are alike in some way. Miroslav Volf said this quote about forgiveness. Forgiveness flounders because I exclude the enemy from the community of humans, even as I exclude myself from the community of sinners. I think that's really helpful. So we say of the person who has wronged me, that they aren't really human. They're not in the community of humans. And I'm not in the community of sinners. But actually we need to see we are alike. Because we're both sinners. We may not have done exactly what the other person has done, but we still have sin in our hearts. And they are still human. And our hearts need to go out to them. So first thing in what is forgiveness is we need to make our hearts go out to the other person. Second thing is we need to choose to cancel their debt. This is the heart of forgiveness. This is the centre of it. It is cancelling the other person's debt. This parable is saying to us, what Jesus is saying is forgiveness is like someone owes you money. It is like they owe you something. And every time someone does something against you, that is a helpful way of thinking of it. They have incurred a debt against you. It may not be financial. It may be a whole load of other things. Could be your dignity that has been taken from you. Could be your self-worth, your happiness, your good name. There could be a whole load of things where you say, they have robbed me of that. Sometimes it can feel like they have robbed you of life itself. And to forgive is to take that debt and to cancel it. Now, when we do that, in order to do that, we do need to recognize the size of the debt. Because forgiving the debt is not just minimizing it, saying, oh, it's not very much. It's not excusing it. It's not denying it. It's not just forgetting it. Because actually there are some things where you go, you know what, I can't actually forget that. It's also not taking it seriously. It is actually right that when someone does something against us, we do actually need to say, this is how big it is. This is what it is that they've done to me, and face it square on and say, that is how big it is. Not brush it under the carpet, not deny it, just say, this is what it is. And then we make the choice to cancel the debt. And it is a choice. Forgiveness is not first and foremost a feeling. We often think that, don't we? We think, well, I've got to feel it first. I've got to feel that I want to forgive them, and then I can forgive them. No, this is a choice. It is a choice to say, I will cancel their debt. I will wipe it out, and I will pray that the feelings will come along. But even if they don't, I cancel it. And when we do that, when we say, I will cancel the debt, what we're saying is, that person now owes me nothing. They don't owe me. They don't need to grovel before me. They don't need to experience the pain that I have felt. I wipe it out. There is no punishment needed, because when we're in the grip of unforgiveness, that's what we want. We want them to experience what we've experienced, or worse. We want them to be punished. And wiping out the debt is saying there is nothing that needs to happen to them. And part of this, R.T. Kendall in his book, I think really helpfully says, part of that not wanting the other person to be punished is saying, I won't therefore talk about this thing that they have done with anyone else. I won't talk about it with anyone else. Why not? Well, why do you and I talk about what someone has done wrong to us? Most of the time, it's a form of punishing them, isn't it? We talk about it with someone else because we want other people to know what they have done to us. And we want everyone else to think badly of them and to think better of us and to know the pain that we have gone through. Now, R.T. Kendall, I think he rightly says there may be some times where you may need to tell someone. So if it's something illegal, of course, you've got to tell someone. But most of the time it's not, is it? But even still, there may be the occasion where you say, actually, I tell one other person, but there's someone who I know will not tell others. But even if you are telling one other person, it's got to be that it's not for the reason of wanting to punish the person who did it to you. I think that's a great challenge. Do they need to seek your forgiveness for you to forgive them? I think the answer is no. Again, R.T. Kendall points us to Jesus on the cross, being nailed to the cross, and he says to, you know, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Did they ask for forgiveness? No, they didn't. So even if the person doesn't ask for it, we need to forgive. Do you need to go and tell them that they're forgiven? No, if they haven't asked for forgiveness, you don't need to go and tell them that they're forgiven. Again, R.T. Kendall says 90% of the times when he's had to forgive someone, they haven't known that they'd done anything wrong. Well, it would be odd if after this, you go up to someone, they think there's nothing wrong, and you just go up to them and say, oh, by the way, I forgive you. Really? What for? And then it gets into a difficult conversation. You know, why would you be telling them? Well, you'd be telling them so that they'd feel bad, so that they knew that you'd forgiven them and what the problem was, and you get into all that kind of stuff. You don't have to tell them. But you do need to wipe out that debt. Forgiveness at heart is cancelling that debt. Now, how can we do it? How can we forgive? Because I hope you can see that is hard. If you can't see that's hard, I've not explained it very well. Because wiping off that debt, inevitably, if you wipe off that debt, what you're saying is, you don't need to pay for this. I will pay it. Someone crashes into my car. They owe me for that repair. If I say I cancel your debt, I'm not just saying the debt doesn't exist anymore. I'm saying I will pay that. I'll absorb it myself. And that's what we're doing when we're forgiving someone for something they've done to us, against us. We're saying I cancel the debt by absorbing it myself. Now, how can we do that? In the story that Jesus tells, part of the key to the story is the differing amounts of debt that are owed. So the original servant, did you notice how much he owed? Verse 24. Have a look at verse 24. He says, as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 talents. Now, that is a huge amount of money. Just look down at the footnote to see what they say. So you just look down the footnote at the bottom of the page. It tells you sort of roughly how much that is. He says, that is millions of pounds. Okay, it doesn't give you a precise figure, but it's just, I mean, it's just enormous, the debt that is owed. So he owes millions of pounds, and the king wipes it off, writes it off. How much is owed to him by the other servant? Have a look down verse 28. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Okay, how much is that? Again, go for the footnote. That is a few pounds. You see, Jesus is saying, this is, I mean, just extremes of debt. One is owes millions, and the person owes him a few pounds. Why is Jesus saying this? He is saying, in order for us to understand forgiveness, we need to know how much we've been forgiven. That's what he's saying, isn't it? We need to know the extremity, the enormous amount we have been forgiven. And we will struggle to forgive if we are sitting here this morning thinking, oh no, what is owed to me is much more than God has forgiven me. If we get that out of balance, if we think it's the other way round, I'm owed millions, but oh, God forgives me, it's only a few pounds. We will never forgive. And actually, we've distorted how much we've been forgiven if we're Christians, if we've come to Jesus for forgiveness. This is saying we have been forgiven millions of pounds worth, as it were. That's how much we've been forgiven. And if we go down the line of saying, oh, it wasn't that much, I think we need to see that the size of the debt that was paid for it is shown by the price that was paid. What's the price that was paid for you and me to be forgiven if we've come to Christ, if we're Christians? What's the price that was paid? It was God's own son. Now, would you go to a father who has lost his son? Would you go to a father who has lost his son and say to him, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth that much. I didn't do that much bad. Could you do that to God? God says, I had to spend my son for you. That's how much your debt was. That's how big it was. It's not worth millions of pounds. It's far more than that. And when we see that, when that sinks into our hearts, the enormity of our debt, that's what gives us the ability to look at one another and say, this is painful, but I forgive you because you owe me so much less than God has forgiven me. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, most of this is aimed at Christians, but if you're not, it's great that you're here. This is what you need too, because your debt to God is enormous, as was all of ours. You need this forgiveness that only Jesus can give. And when you receive that forgiveness, it frees you up to be someone who can be set free from the bonds of unforgiveness of others. I'm going to finish with an incredible example. An incredible story. Someone that many of us will have heard of before. As I was reading about it her this week, I just thought it was incredible. The forgiveness that she gave. And the lady is Corrie ten Boom. In the Second World War, Corrie and her sister, Betsy, were sent to the Nazi concentration camp in Ravensbrück. And they were sent there because they hid Jews. Her sister, Betsy, died in the camp. And sometime after the war, Corrie went to Munich to speak about forgiveness. And in the assembled gathering, there was one of the guards from Ravensbrück. And after the talk, he came up to her. And this is what she says. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. "You mentioned Ravensbrook in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there. But since that time," he went on, "I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein." Again the hand came out. "Will you forgive me?" And I stood there, I whose sins had again and again to be forgiven, and could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And still I stood there, with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. "Help," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, "with all my heart." For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you call us in your word to do something which is very hard. You call us to forgive. You call us to do this. And you call us to do it knowing that you have forgiven us if we have come to Christ. Father, please would you help us to know how much it cost you for us to be forgiven. Help us to know the size of our debt, how sinful we are, and to wonder and delight in the cost of forgiveness, that it cost you your Son. And help us, therefore, in the light of that, to forgive one another, to forgive those from the past who have done things against us. And help us, along with Corrie ten Boom, to know your love more and more deeply as we forgive one another. Amen.